Welcome to Pardon My French,
the podcast that teaches you French in a fun and casual way.
My name is Tom.
And my name is James.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the first episode of our podcast. In this series of podcasts, we're going to try and teach you some casual French in a quite a laid-back setting.
French that you'll be able to use in everyday environments, like talking in the bar, booking a plane ticket, eating in a restaurant, and other things that you may need to learn.
Yeah, so a bit about us. We're going to be your teachers, but we're more going to be your friends.
Hosts of the show.
More like the captains of the ship that will take us all on a fantastic linguistic adventure. So, Tom, what have you been up to this week?
Mainly working. In the evenings, I've been drinking a lot of wine.
Okay, you sound like an alcoholic.
No, just like a healthy amount per night.
Okay, what's that, one glass?
One or two to three a night.
I think one glass is a healthy amount. I think more than that is verging on alcoholism.
It's not unhealthy, it's enjoyable to drink that amount of wine daily.
Nightly. That's what a drug addict would say.
No, not a drug addict, but mate, none of these things apply to me. Just a nice amount, with a meal. Okay, I don't drink it without a meal.
So what kind of wine have you been drinking?
I drank a beautiful red.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Van Rouge.
There we go. Also some rosé and also some white. It's been a long week.
Okay, so we've pretty much had our first three French words there.
Okay. Yeah. What have we got?
We've got our rouge, we've got our rosé, and we've got our blanc.
Okay.
So pretty interesting.
That's very important when talking in French, in France or Switzerland or most places that have wine.
Yeah.
Anywhere, and if you like wine.
Anywhere that has wine, anywhere that makes wine.
Well,
the nose of wine.
A lot of prestigious wines are French, and the French make a lot of good wines.
Yeah,
so if you're going to be talking about wine...
Did you know the French guidelines on wine are very, very strict?
No, but I did find something out this week. Now in France, if you get pulled over in your car, you have to have your own breathalyzer kit. It's the law.
Really?
They don't supply it. You have to carry your own.
So if you don't have one, then you just...
You're breaking the law.
So you probably don't carry one with your three glasses of wine a night.
I don't drive when I drink.
You probably have a micro brewery in your bonnet.
In the bonnet, that's where I keep the engine.
Yeah, true. But you need the heat of the engine to cook the wine.
Mm. And keep my reds warm.
Yeah, that's true.
My favourite wine is a Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir, where's that from?
I'm not sure, you tell me.
I think Pinot is the kind of grape.
And... So. Pinot Noir.
And Noir, I think, means black.
We're covering colours today.
So it comes from a black grape. That's what we've established so far. All right, so what else have you done this week, apart from drink a lot of wine and not carry a breathalyzer kit?
Well, I don't drive in France, so it's all right. But
do you have to carry a breathalyzer if you're an alcoholic walking along the street?
I am not sure on those laws, but...
Or do they carry it around, but they just cynically don't use it for cars that they pull over?
I think you might be right about that. Isn't that just got some sort of vendetta?
That's le cynicisme.
What's that mean?
Cynicism.
Le cynicisme.
As far as I'm aware, I may have made that word up.
Let's hope you have.
Just as a little disclaimer here, not everything we teach you will be true. Some of it might be made up, but the majority is truth.
It would work, most of the words. If James does make up a word, you would be able to get by with it normally. It's based on fact.
Yeah. At the end of the day, language is... transferring information from A to B. So if you can be understood, that's one thing that we're trying to convey here with this podcast is you don't have to learn everything so formally.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, what else have you been doing?
I've been doing some baking. I made some pizza dough and made some homemade pizzas.
Ah.
I have a lot of time for cooking in my job. And we also made some banana bread, which was enjoyed by everyone.
Banana bread. How would you say it in French? Probably something like... Pan à banane.
Pan à banane.
Yeah.
You'd expect it to be more popular in France, as it's got such a good name.
That is true. Because it would still rhyme in French, wouldn't it, of course?
Oh, yeah.
Of course
it doesn't rhyme in English.
It doesn't even rhyme, yeah.
Banana bread.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
No, pan à banane is
it's pretty good. So, from banana bread, we could look at that construction, if you want. So, we have our pan à banane. Now, the a that we use in the middle of those two words... is something we should be very familiar with from learning French, say at school, or learning the very elements of French. Now, we can use a to mean to, as in to go to something. For example, we could say, je vais à la piscine, which means I'm going to the swimming pool. But we can also use the word a, or the masculine version of it, which is au, A-U. We can also use both of these words to represent something of a particular variety. For example, pan au chocolat.
So what does that mean?
Well, pan au chocolat means pan of the chocolate variety.
So bread of chocolate.
Yeah. So just like banana bread is bread of the banana variety. Exactly, yeah. You can also have pan au raisin, which is just, it's like a little croissant-y thing with raisins in.
I nearly put raisins in my banana bread. What would that have been called?
That would have been pan à banane au raisin.
That's
au chocolat.
Pan à banane au raisin.
That is amazing, actually.
That's even
does
better.
All French food rhyme in a comical way?
I should hope so.
It should be.
We'll maybe learn that soon.
What other French food could we talk about? What about frog's legs? Do you know how to talk about frog's legs?
No, I don't know how to talk about frog's legs.
Okay, so one of the first things you learn in school about French is body parts. That's usually one of the first things.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know any body parts? Can you list me some body parts?
Le man.
Let's please keep it censored.
Hand.
Hand. Le man. Very good.
That's the only one I know.
What about, do you know your back?
No.
I'll tell you, your back is dough.
Dough.
Now, we'll come back to that in a minute, but yeah, remember that.
Dough.
So, you've got your man is your hand, or le main.
Le main.
Le dos.
Le dos.
Is the back. Do you know what head is?
No.
La tête.
La tête.
La tête, yeah. And, for example, let's say, what about the leg?
La jambe.
Is la jambe. Exactement. Okay, so... Let's think about animals. So you'll see where this is going. Can you name me some animals? Some French animals, maybe. Maybe a rabbit. Do you know what a rabbit is?
No.
It's lapin.
Lapin?
Lapin.
Like bread?
Like lapin.
Oh, lapin. Okay.
It's similar sounding.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you cook it in bread, then it would be pain à lapin.
Pain à lapin.
And if it's with banana and raisins, it'd be pain à lapin à banane au raisin.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and say that one.
That's amazing, that one. I'm going to cook up some tasty French meals.
Some tasty rhyming meals.
They're probably going to be a bit weird, just principally based on rhyming ingredients. So probably don't come round to my house for a meal. So we've got lapin. Do you know what horse is?
Cheval.
Cheval. Horse is very interesting because the word cheval is also linked to the word chevalier, which is someone who rides a horse, which is then also linked to cavalier.
Okay.
Chevalier.
Okay, yeah.
And cavalier.
Ah.
You can hear where the word is coming from there. Okay, so, and the last animal I want you to name is a frog. Can you name me a frog?
No, I don't
know
the name.
What is the word for a frog?
I don't know the name for a frog.
I'll tell you the word. It's grenouille.
Grenouille.
Grenouille. Okay, so, so we know that leg is la jambe, and
la
frog
jambe.
Is le grenouille.
La grenouille.
Okay, so if you want to say frog's legs, or... The leg of a frog. How do you think we'd say that? Just a guess. Just
la
trying.
Jambe au grenouille.
Okay, so that would be the obvious translation. That would be the literal translation. In fact, when we order frog's legs, we're not ordering the legs of a frog. We're actually ordering the thighs of a frog, which sounds like you're in some kind of froggy lap dance parlor.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just that's just what they say. So the word for a thigh is les cuisses. Or
le cuisse.
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 Okay, so you actually say le cuisse de grenouille.
La cuisse de grenouille.
So there you're ordering the frog's legs. But you're ordering a frog's thighs.
With the, is it, do you think, because the thigh is the actual bit you eat? Because it's more meaty?
That's probably it. I mean, technically, we're being quite complacent by saying frog's legs. Mm. You know, I'm not sitting there noshing on a frog's shins.
No.
Going, ooh, this is tasty.
The thighs are where it's at.
That's where it's at. That's where the meat is found, principally.
In most animals, it seems.
Yeah.
The thigh's always going to be tastier.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
I'd say definitely.
I haven't eaten loads of animals.
The word meat is very interesting in Spanish. The word meat is carne.
It's a French podcast.
It is a French podcast, but...
But carne.
Carne, okay. For the viewers who are interested, French, Italian and Spanish all make up a holy trinity of languages, if you will, called the Romantic languages, and they all have their roots in Latin. Basically, they all come from Roman languages. And so they all share a lot of similarities. The word for meat is not one of them, as in Spanish it is carne, but in French it is viande. So they're very different.
Viande.
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 Yeah.
That's a general word for meat.
So vegetarian is going beyond viande. You could think of that. And that is just a vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
Vegetarian. So the word carne in Spanish, yeah, that leads to the phrase chili con carne.
Okay.
Which just means chili with meat. Anyway, that's a slight...
that's our other podcast. Pardon my Spanish.
Pardon my Spanish.
Doesn't work so well. That's
perdón
why...
mi español. That's coming in 2020. but in the meantime, let's get back to what we're talking about. So we talked about frog's legs.
And we also talked about wine earlier.
We did. You're loving that.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised you brought it back to that.
Yeah, I know.
In fact, do you know what's interesting? In French, if someone drinks a lot of wine,
yeah.
if someone is a drunkard...
A drunkard or someone who drinks a lot of wine is different.
Okay, all right, fine. But in fact, in the French language, they do not differentiate too much because you actually might call someone a sac à vin.
Sac à vin?
Yeah, which basically means a bag of wine.
Wine. a bag of wine.
Yeah, we just talked about pain à banane, and there we've got a sac à vin.
Sac à vin.
So in exactly the same way, we've got a bag of the wine variety, a bag full of wine. And that basically is a derogatory way of calling someone like a drunkard.
So you refer to them as a bag and they're full of wine.
yeah, it's not quite the same as calling an old person like, oh, you old bag.
Oh.
You old bag.
You bag.
You bag. It's not quite the same as that. The word la bague actually in French means ring. So don't confuse the English word bag, which in French is sac, for the English word ring. Which in French is bag.
Ring as in the...
A ring that you would put on your finger.
Okay.
Yeah, so you actually... It's very confusing, but you would put a bag on your finger in French, and you would put a sac on your back.
Makes sense.
Understood?
Oui.
Comprendre. Vous allez comprendre. Okay. So, what else could you put on your back, for example?
A jacket.
Okay, so instead of a sac à vin, you might put a sac à dos.
What's a sac à dos?
So, we just talked about what your back is. It's dos.
Dos.
Le dos.
Yeah.
So, a sac à dos is just a backpack. Yeah. In the same way you might carry in your hand, what might you carry in your hand?
A sac à main. Sac de.
Sac à main.
Sac à main.
Yeah. A handbag. There you go.
Very straightforward, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually really easy. And, you know, you might be carrying that, and then you might walk home, and you might live in a cul-de-sac.
Yes.
Okay. Which you know.
Quite common.
It's quite a commonly known thing. I think a lot of people, probably 2 out of every 10 people, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just picking a statistic out of the air.
You know.
Probably 1 in every 8 families live in a cul-de-sac.
I think that's a gross unproportional statistic. But
okay. Well, I haven't got any sources on that, so you just have to...
Don't quote me on it.
Either take my word for it or totally don't.
But cul-de-sacs are one of them words that has infiltrated the English language. They've
penetrated the French language, if you will.
The English have penetrated the French language, or the French have penetrated the English language?
In fact, they've penetrated each other.
Yeah.
There's been some kind of like
mutual penetration,
co-penetration
mm-hmm.
across the channel for a long time, which, given the girth of the channel, is a pretty mean feat. So lots of words they use today in French are very obviously from English. So, for example, what am I doing at the weekend? They would say le week-end.
Le week-end.
You know, if I'm having some roast beef. They would actually use the English word roast beef.
Roast beef.
Except it's spelt completely differently, but it's pronounced roast beef. And the same for the word bulldog. Bulldog.
Bulldog.
Although, obviously, the word dog in French is chien.
Chien.
It's not... You don't say boule chien. You say bulldog. It's just stolen... Well, not stolen, but shared.
Yeah.
Co-penetrated from the English. Another word that you might use if you're, you know, among youngsters... Among some cool kids, you might say cool.
Cool.
You know, if something's nice, if something's pretty hip, you might actually be like, oh, cool.
So all these words are pretty much exactly the same, but with a French accent.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, if you go online, you could go on Facebook. Yeah. And you just get used to, if you're living in a French-speaking country, you just get used to speaking with these kind of strange accents. You even get used to speaking your own name in a different accent, which is strange, but you just get used to it. So, James, Tom.
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 Je m'appelle Tom.
Je m'appelle James. Exactly. So, exactement. But you got to be careful with the word cool, because it sounds a bit like the French word for arse.
Cool. Cool.
Okay,
cool.
So we have cool, which is cool.
Cool.
And then we have the French word for arse, which is spelt C-U-L, which is pronounced cool.
Cool.
If you notice, there's slightly less stress on the L at the end, so it's cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So when we say, let's go back to the word cul-de-sac that we talked about before. In French, if you pronounced it correctly, it'd be cul-de-sac. And that basically means arse of the bag.
Arse of the
so
bag.
So cul means arse and sac means bag. So cul-de-sac means arse of the bag. You can understand it really because it's like if you look in a bird's eye view of a cul-de-sac, you can see exactly what it looks like. It's the bag and it's right at the bottom.
I wonder how many English people who live in cul-de-sacs know what the literal French translation is of where they live.
They're living in a French arsehole.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. Well, an arsehole would be a trou de cul.
Trou.
So you have the kind of the grating R. It's like trou, trou, and that means hole.
Oh,
trou. Yeah. So yeah, so cul de sac you have is the arse of the bag. Now this leads us nicely into if we went to a bar, for example, mm-hmm. and we may begin drinking, and if you're going out with some like fresher lads, if you're going out with some
fresher.
Yeah, some kind of freshman.
Oh, freshman. You know. Okay.
I don't mean people who are cleaner than me. I mean,
what
yeah.
Just everyone.
So we're out with some kind of young lads, you know, like maybe some rugby lads. They're like, they really want to, you know, get smashed. They want to get drunk. Which in French, the word for drunk is bourré.
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 It's kind of, it sounds a bit like the word for buttered, which would be beurre.
Beurre.
But it's not, it's bourré.
Bourré.
Yeah, so bourré.
Okay.
And if you wanted to get drunk, one of the best ways to get drunk, I don't know if you've ever found this out, but it's downing a drink.
More than one, I imagine.
Yeah. For anyone who is not aware of that kind of English terminology, it's just basically drinking it down in one. We might say necking it as well.
Chugging.
Chugging.
In America, I think they use chugging a lot, don't they?
Yeah. Strapedo! Whatever. So, anything that is of that kind of...
Finishing a drink quickly.
Finishing it quickly, yeah. So, in French, what you'd actually say is dry ass. If you wanted to say to someone, down it. You know, if I turned to you, Tom, and I was like, here you go, here's your pint. Down it, mate! You know?
Oh, no.
I wouldn't say down it. I'd be like, hey, dry ass.
In French, what would this sound
so
like?
So, in French, we know what arse is already.
Yeah.
From cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. So, what is it?
Cul.
Yeah, cul.
Cul, sorry, cul.
Yeah.
Without the L sound.
And the word for dry in French is sec.
Sec?
Yeah, it's like seconds, you know. You might say seconds and minutes and hours. So, it's like a shortened version of seconds. It's sec. Mm-hmm.
Sec.
Okay. So, and basically, dry arse is cul-sec.
Cul-sec.
So, you might say to someone, eh, mec cul-sec. Okay, the word added at the start there is mec. That just means kind of like guy. Hey, dude, mate, whatever. Yeah. Hey, mec, cul sec.
So cool, the word for dry ass, that means so the bottom of the bottom of the drink is now dry because you've finished all the liquid out.
Exactly,
of it.
Exactly. So you're drying off the bottom of your glass by necking it.
Very literal, a lot.
It's
of
very
this.
Literal, and it leads us quite nicely back to your three glasses of wine a night. Because I'm sure you're drying off the glasses like nobody business.
Nobody business or nobody's business?
Nobody business.
Nobody business.
Yeah.
It's nobody's business how much I drink. Like, let's put it out there straight away.
Exactly. Well, there's no business like show business, and in the end of this show business, we have to bring our podcast to an end. But this leads us nicely on to what we'll talk about next week, or in the next podcast of the series, which will be, we'll be talking about bars, we'll be talking about anything to do with drinking, going out, you know, socialising, that kind of thing. So if you want to learn a bit more about that, some interesting trivia and a bit more eccentric etymology, then keep tuned in.
So if you want to contact us, you can email us at pardonmyfrenchpodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, we're at myfrenchpodcast. And you can find us on Facebook at Pardon My French Podcast.
Yeah. And we'd love to hear all your comments and feedback and anything you'd like to see coming up in the rest of the series. So that's us for now, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you for listening.